Hello, this is episode 30 of Ethnically Ambiguous.
With Anna and Shireen.
That's us.
And today we're going to be talking a little bit about the shooting that happened in Florida and why you should be aware of the terminology that's being used about it.
Yes, and then we're going to talk about Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, and the recommended charges against him for bribery and fraud.
It's juicy as fuck. We're also going to talk about Ahed Tamimi, and she's on trial for some stuff she probably shouldn't be on trial for, so stay tuned.
Yeah, and then we're probably going to talk a little about our holiday experiences and how we celebrated birthdays growing up.
Yeah.
Shireen had a tough time.
Spoiler alert.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
And we
are
begun. Back. Damn it.
That was so well planned. Look.
We're back. And we have begun.
This is episode 30.
That's 3 decades.
Call me a cab.
Call me a cab.
What? I don't know.
Yeah, this is episode number 30. And we were recording this the day after Valentine's Day. And
so happy Valentine's to all our lovers out there.
Well, I was going to say that because yesterday there was a very horrific shooting that happened, which we will touch upon. But
Oh, yeah, I didn't make that connection in my head.
Yeah.
The shooting and Valentine's Day did both happen yesterday, but in my head they were 2 separate things and it was 2 separate days and I did not make that connection whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, I'm very single, so maybe I just, the
so
Valentine's
you were like,
Day completely
yeah,
went over my head. Over my head.
Naturally, there'd be a shooting on this day.
No, I just mean, I'm not a big holiday person as it is, so it was just kind of upsetting that it would happen.
Really?
On
so
Valentine's
you don't celebrate Easter?
No. When I was younger, I did love bunnies, and I thought it was a bunny holiday, and then someone told me it was about Jesus, and I got really sad.
Did you... a bunny holiday?
There's bunnies everywhere! Imagine being a little kid being, like, obsessed with bunnies and going to a Rite Aid and everything has bunnies on it, and then later realizing it's about Jesus coming back to
true.
Life.
True. Did you ever search for eggs?
No.
In a stranger's backyard?
No.
I did. I didn't feel comfortable
That's
with
white
it.
White-ass shit.
I, like, went to a family friend's house... and they took us next door to another person's house who we didn't know.
Huh.
And so me and my brother had to search for eggs with, like, stranger kids, which was like,
what
are we doing here? And I always remember that as kind of being like, okay, like, I know you want to kind of give us something to do, but, like, we don't know any of these people. We've never met your neighbors before.
That's strange. I remember painting eggs, maybe, like, in elementary school. There was, like, a project you would do or something. You would, like, paint Easter eggs in, like, pastel colors.
Yeah, I still do that. I love painting eggs.
Oh. That's a nice activity. I think I stopped doing that.
I still can't believe my parents just, like, left us at that stranger's house to, like, search for eggs with some, like, rando white kids.
Oh, man. Parenting! Harder than it sounds. You need breaks when you can take them, you know? But yeah.
You know, I just have one thing to say about that. Never again.
Never again.
Never again will I let my mom grab my hand and lead me to a neighbor's backyard. Someone
one
I
time
don't
was
know.
Enough. One time was enough. But yeah, I feel
if you're listening, mom, you've ruined my life.
No!
I'm just joking. You're fine. You're fine for now. Watch your back, though.
Oh, no.
I'm just threatening my mom on this podcast for no reason. Watch your back, mom. Just kidding. My mom is feisty and can beat the shit out of me. Okay.
Yeah, I feel
not
like
that she would. She's a very nice lady, but I feel like if I ever took her to that level,
yeah,
she would destroy me.
What else happened this week? My little sister had appendicitis.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Like it burst?
It didn't burst. It was inflamed, and they removed it. Yeah, and I felt really guilty because the night before that, she was texting me and my older sister, who's a doctor, that her stomach hurt, and we were both convinced it was gas.
We're like, oh, fart it out.
And then, like, 12 hours later in the morning, she was vomiting and she had to go to the hospital. And we were like, oh, we're the worst.
Well, I mean, your doctor sister should feel worse than you should, because you're just a normal person and she has literally like 8 years of training to be like.
Hmm. She redeemed herself by being at the hospital with her the whole time and taking the day off. And so I think she made up for it. But at the time, that night before, we were just like, it's gas. Because I thought I had appendicitis before too, but it wasn't that. Yeah, but anyway, now she's without an appendix, which is apparently a useless organ anyways. So, like a spleen.
Yeah, I believe the whole idea of them is to just inflame and burst at some point.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only purpose they serve. Just to remind you that they exist.
Can I opt to get mine removed?
I mean, I guess you'd be proactive about it, yeah. We should start a movement. A movement about getting your appendix removed before it bursts. Before it has the opportunity to. It's like breaking up with someone before they can break up with you. You know? Too real for me just now.
Huh. Do you think that's a pre-existing condition?
Breaking up with someone?
No, appendicitis. Okay. breaking up with pre-existing condition. My healthcare does not cover heartbreak. My insurance. They say heartbreak is a I can't say that word. Pre-existing condition. I keep saying pre-consisting consistent. Okay.
Yeah. But while we're on the
subject of love,
we're going to love to hate some people. I want to hate these people and say fuck you to two people in particular. The first is
Marco Rubio. Bam, 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 bam. Piece of shit from Florida who voted against gun control. Yeah. Here's a big old fuck you in the asshole.
Because you were also one of the first fucking people to call out for thoughts and prayers after the shooting happened. Well, your thoughts and prayers mean fucking nothing when you vote against gun regulations.
Do you have no shame? Your tweet should have said, my bad. That's what your tweet should have said. Don't bother thoughts and prayerings, you fucking piece of useless shit.
And the governor of Florida, Marco Rubio, for those who don't know, is the Florida Republican senator. But the governor, Rick Scott, also was very swift to condemn the horrific school shooting. And both of those people, they voted against stricter gun control regulations.
So what the fuck are you doing? Fuck you, Rick Scott! You can suck all the dicks in your tiny little Republican mouth.
Because the NRA basically owns them and just funds their fucking lives. And it's just infuriating that... Because Marco Rubio in particular, Florida is the third most state that's accepted funding from the NRA. And Marco Rubio in particular has accepted over $3.3 million from the NRA.
But as they like to say, hey, it's a mental illness thing.
Yeah.
Not a gun control thing.
He was a white kid.
Don't
that had
politicize
problems.
It.
He was a white kid that had problems. And we shouldn't treat it as a terrorist attack because he wasn't fucking Muslim.
But he was totally a white nationalist, so is that not political?
You would think so. But there's an article on Harrods. It says, when it's white supremacists and not Islamists, Trump seems reluctant to call terror by its name. Yeah, you're fucking right. And that double standard is how Trump has responded to all the school shootings and shootings that have happened and the acts of violence that have happened that aren't committed by someone that isn't white. So,
and he was like barely white. I was like, okay, your last name is Cruz. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, well,
I'm talking about the suspect.
Is he a suspect? Or
I don't know. What is it called? The shooter, I guess, technically would be what he's called.
Suspect means there's the word suspect implies there's like a shadow of a doubt that it's not him.
No, but it's definitely him.
Yeah, but yeah.
Well,
it's infuriating.
He knew what he was
doing. I just can't wait for all of these dumbass Fox News and other people like Fox News saying that it was a mental illness and we have to talk about like how this happens. When really, to sum it up, the Parkland gunman was too young to buy beer. He was expelled from school for violence. He got mental health treatment. He got reported to the FBI for boasting he'd shoot up a school on YouTube. And then as of February 13th, 2018, he owned an assault rifle totally legally. It was legal. After all of that, he got it legally. A fucking assault rifle that should be used in war. No use in regular life or even fucking hunting, if that's your argument. So
yeah, AR-15 is trash.
No use for it.
And then I know Fox News went on this whole rant about how it's the safest gun because it shoots so smoothly, which is just like, okay, first of all, you're missing the point, you dumb fucks.
What do you
fucks.
Mean, safe? Like, what the, like, why do you need that weapon in civilization?
You don't. No one needs an AR-15.
Like, you're not going to the fucking barracks or whatever you're going, like, to, you're not going to war. You're living in a suburb in Florida, you little cunt. And you still get a fucking assault rifle legally? He was too young. He was underage, basically. He was too young to buy beer, but he was old enough to buy something that can kill people. That's absurd. It's absurd.
I agree.
So, yeah.
Well, that's a bummer. Anyway.
So, I felt we should at least touch on that since it did happen so recently. And even though it makes me infuriated, guess what? This whole episode's going to be infuriating.
Yeah, this is a good episode to start listening to.
We're going to be mad the whole time.
First, I want to give a shout out to my beautiful little baby, Zach.
Before we get too angry, yeah. Yeah,
happy birthday, Zach.
Happy birthday, Zach. He's recording us right now, so he's about 5 feet away. Hi, thanks. Thanks for being the best. You make Anna happy, Zach. And that makes me happy.
Thanks for being the best.
Yeah.
He's my white prince.
Not good for the brand, as you said before, but I've accepted it now.
My beautiful white prince. Okay. We'll move on, because he hates this. All right.
But yeah...
should we talk about so Shereen and I are going to stray from the format a little today. We're just going to get into a few things. We're going to talk about old shady McFuckster Netanyahu.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to really cover, sorry, those burps are back. We're going to cover, the beginning of Ahed Tamimi's trial in Israel.
Yeah.
And why it's so fucked up.
Very fucked up, and so we're not going to have one topic for each of us.
Yeah, we're both just going to get into the dirty.
We're just going to really get right into it. And also, kind of, because even though Western news outlets are talking about it, they're not nearly as infuriated as I want them to be about this subject. And so I want you guys to be aware of how ridiculous this trial really is and what she's on trial for.
Yes, but we will get to that.
Yeah.
Let's start talking about Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. Maybe you've heard of him.
And maybe you haven't. In this case, perfect episode for you to tune in.
A few episodes back, I did a story about him being super corrupt and shady. And his son basically admitting to his father being shady. But that always gets swept under the rug.
But now...
for once...
the Israeli police are saying he should be charged with bribery and fraud.
Yes, and breach of trust in two separate cases.
Mm-hmm.
One case, it centers on an allegation that Mr. Netanyahu, he asked the publisher of an Israeli newspaper, Yediot Aharonot, for basically positive coverage in exchange to... shut up a rival publication. So now the editor of that, Arnon Moses, might also face charges. And the second allegation is a claim that Netanyahu, since 2009, has been receiving gifts worth at least $1 million shekels, which translates to $283,000, from Hollywood producer Arnon Milchan. Apparently he needed help getting a U.S. visa. And Netanyahu helped him, and he gave him, champagne and cigars and just basically, bribed the shit out of him. And Arnon Milchan is known for producing Fight Club, Gone Girl, mm-hmm. The Revenant, and he apparently should face bribery charges as well, according to the police.
Yeah, and also, there's a Netanyahu, after receiving these gifts, he pushed for the Milchan Law, and this ensures that Israeli who return to live in Israel from abroad are exempt from paying taxes for 10 fucking years.
Yes, that is according to the BBC.
And that's just straight up bullshit.
And then, the finance ministry of Israel blocked that by being like, no, you fucking weirdo, stop being so sketchy.
Yeah.
And then there's apparently he's suspected of a fraud and breach of trust case involving Australian billionaire James Packer. I don't know the details on that, but apparently Packer's told investigators that he gave the Prime Minister and his wife gifts. So...
yeah, but a formal bribery charge, because of all the favors that he have made, that they, he may have given his wealthy friends in return, the formal bribery charge can be the most serious outcome, and it wouldn't really, his political survival from that would be grim, which is great to, for me to hear, but because as of now, he's serving his third consecutive term since his election in 2009, and his fourth overall since the 1990s. And if he remained in the post through July of 2019, he would set the record for the total time in office, surpassing the state's founder, David Ben-Gurion. So he and Netanyahu, he's denied any wrongdoing.
Yeah, he says the allegations are baseless.
That but sounds here's familiar.
Really like funny thing Trump. He said, over the years, I've been the subject of at least 15 inquiries and investigations. It's like, yeah. You shady
yeah, exactly.
shit! Like what? What?
And
like,
you're victim, and you're blameless.
Like,
you're
every
the
single
whole time,
it was just a coincidence.
Yeah.
Like,
hashtag me too.
Yeah. Like, first of all, sir, like you're basically admitting what? That you're literally the police keeping. Like, all right, here's some more shit that we have to talk to you
Such
about.
Bullshit. And he's just literally the Washington Post has an article headline that says Netanyahu is trying to play the victim. Will he get away with it? Like, I really fucking hope not. Like, come on.
Ugh.
It's absurd. And his political strategy in the face of this corruption case against him is just like, it's just like, I'm a victim. Everyone's trying to bullshit, like tarnish my image or whatever. So, yeah. I'm happy. I'm very actually relieved that Western media is covering it in this way. Obviously, they're not going to, like, berate him like we are, but...
I think it's interesting yeah. that... during his, like, first term as prime minister, he was dubbed the magician by, like, local papers and stuff because of his, this is according to the BBC, his uncanny ability to extricate himself from the most difficult of situations.
The fuck?
That's a shady person.
Yeah!
I don't know about you, but anyway, his...
up, yeah, yeah. Sorry,
his, the charges, like, if he gets charged, it'll come down to, what is it called? The Attorney's General Office will decide if they will charge him.
Mm-hmm.
I was
surprised, like pleasantly surprised that it's all led by the Israelis National Police Force. And
right.
that this is, they released these long awaited conclusions after these investigations have been taking place over like months.
Right.
And they're the ones that are like heralding this, this case, these cases against him. And that made me like have a little bit of faith in Israelis in general not all being corrupt.
True, but then Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked said any prime minister who has been charged should not be obliged to resign. Which
what?
Is just like, what is the fucking rule here? Like, literally the only rule in Israel is don't be Arab. That's it. That's all that matters
to
them.
Or black. Yeah. Remember last week? Yeah.
They don't give a shit about anything else.
As long as you're Jewish, that you're good.
Yeah, that's all that matters. They don't care about any other person in the world.
And that should be alarming to everybody, and it should be just something accepted. And I think I get really frustrated here, in LA in particular, like any criticism against Israel gets automatically labeled as anti-Semitic, and that's not the fucking point. The state of Israel, other than being in the holy text of the Torah, is a fairly new fucking country. It's not even a century old, and the things that it's done are unacceptable. And we're going to get into that. For sure.
Also, his wife, Sarah, is suspected of accepting 400,000 shekels, $81,000, and $113,000 in gifts, and of instituting a cordon bleu meals on a regular basis for the family at their residence, a privilege that is usually only reserved for state visitors.
Hmm.
And on top of that, they apparently got in trouble because they were accused of charging the government for the services of a contractor who did private work for them.
What?
Yeah. Fucking and a lot of, like, Israeli family. Press, they, like, blame his wife, Sarah, who apparently has been instrumental in pushing for, like, a lavish lifestyle and possesses a reputation for treating employees badly.
So he's still a victim, basically, because so he's married to a monster.
It's like, my wife made me do this!
It's like, spineless no. bitch. God, I hate him.
Stupid.
I fucking hate him.
And then, of course, you know, his son came out and said that shit in front of the strip club about how his dad did like a deal for some like gas guy
and apple meat tree. Like, oh my god, you guys are all pieces of shit.
Yeah, and apparently there's another case involving Netanyahu's lawyer and his cousin David Shimron, who is being investigated in a case regarding the acquisition of submarines from the German shipbuilder ThyssenKrupp. I don't know what that means, but apparently other suspects have been detained, including former commander of the Israeli army.
Yeah. And something interesting. So the cases against Netanyahu, it's kind of like, it's Israel's first sitting prime minister. If he was to be formally charged, it would be the first case that would happen, because his predecessor, Ehud Olmert, he announced his resignation in September 2008. A week before the police recommended that he was charged with bribery. So 1 week before the police recommended he was charged with bribery, he resigned. And he was he's going to be charged with bribery, breach of trust, money laundering, and fraudulent receipt of goods. I can't speak. I'm so mad all the time. But it's very similar to what's happening with Netanyahu, but the only difference is that he fucking resigned before anything happened. So if this case were to go forward, Netanyahu would be the first prime minister to be formally charged.
I hate it.
Yeah. But eventually, the former prime minister, Olmert, he was eventually convicted in various cases and served 19 months of a 27-month prison sentence, but he was released last year. So I had never heard of that before reading about this recently. I didn't realize that this corruption was even before Netanyahu. I mean, I knew it was before Netanyahu, but I didn't know they had pursued charges against the former prime minister. And even though the effect came after he resigned, it's pretty, I think it's a testament to the Israeli police force being very committed to their, to proving that there's corruption in Israel, you know?
It's bad.
It's bad, bad, bad.
It's real bad. Yeah, so of course Netanyahu's like, fuck you, and he's like pulling a Trump and being like, fake news. Like, he deemed the investigations of these cases to be the work of a leftist media. Which is like, ugh, Jesus Christ.
That sounds so familiar. I wonder if he got that from fucking Trump. Yeah, but in December, Netanyahu told a gathering of his right-wing Likud party, he said that the vast majority of police recommendations end in nothing. Over 60% of the police recommendations are thrown in the trash. Over 60% of the police recommendations don't get an indictment.
So, sounds like a corrupt government. Yep. Everything he says, like, basically admits that he's corrupt, while, like, denying it at the same time. It's very weird.
That's what, I feel like it's so reminiscent, not reminiscent, but it's very much like Trump, which I can't, like,
well,
it's like Trump got all his tricks from Netanyahu and
what's Putin. Interesting is this past Sunday, Trump, like, changed his tone on Netanyahu and all the settlements and that, and he told a right-wing Israeli newspaper, Israel Hayom, that he was concerned about the growth of Jewish settlements on the West Bank. Settlements, he said, are something that very much complicates and always have complicated making peace. And he's talking about, like, a peace treaty they're trying to build between Palestine and Israel, which is a long time
coming.
Well, who knows if it'll happen anytime soon, because the there's a lot of beef, obviously. But that's interesting that he finally decided to kind of speak out against Netanyahu, and I don't think these current accusations towards Netanyahu are going to help his case when it comes to not giving in to certain aspects of the peace treaty, because they feel like Israel has to kind of bring something to the table versus just being like, Arabs are bad people, or whatever their whole stance is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we are going to take a quick commercial break. And we are back.
Oh, damn it. We have to get things
okay.
it's okay. Yeah, so maybe we should get into
should we get into some Ahed Tamimi trial?
Oh yeah, we should. We definitely fucking should.
So
we've talked about Ahed Tamimi in the past, and she definitely deserves to be talked about more.
And if you don't know who Ahed Tamimi is, she's a Palestinian girl. She's 17 years old. She lives in, like, occupied Palestine near the West Bank in a village called, like,
Nabi Saleh.
And her whole family are activists. She's an activist. She grew up dealing with basically IDF agents and other Israeli groups, like, occupying her land and settlers and stuff. And she's always fought for her family and for the rights of Palestinians. And today she started her trial to fuck her over.
Yeah, so she's 17 now. She was arrested in December, and she was 16 when she was arrested, and she turned 17 when she was in custody in prison. But there's a video of her slapping and hitting two Israeli officials outside of her house.
That was posted by her mom. It went viral. So now her mom is also being detained for posting the video.
Because they're saying by posting the video, she was encouraging acts of terror against the Israeli government. Which is absurd.
It's wild, because the Israeli government, by definition, is an act of terror.
Yep.
Boom, yeah. Baby!
Yeah, and she was especially mad. Ahed Tamimi, the day before this video was recorded and went out, she had found out that her cousin was shot point blank in the head with a rubber bullet.
Oh, wait, a rubber-covered steel bullet.
That's
the wildest part. They are really trying to say it's just a rubber bullet. It's like, no, it was a steel bullet covered in rubber.
And the only reason he didn't, like, he was in a coma
his
for, like...
His skull burst. They had to put him in a coma because they had to basically reconstruct his face.
And and you think she wouldn't be fucking outraged? Of course she'd be outraged.
And on top of that, you grew up your whole life watching your parents be arrested by, like, the IDF and dragged out. Yeah. So, of course, if two Israeli soldiers walk onto your land, you have no, like, there's, you react because you're like, fuck you, you're killing, like, I've watched my whole life, you kill all my family members, and you just attacked my cousin for, I believe he was shot in the head because he was climbing a wall during a demonstration, and they decided
that's worth shooting someone. A fucking child. But so, Ahed Tamimi, she's facing 12 charges, including alleged assault and incitement, and she can spend up to 10 years in prison if she's found guilty. And the cousin that we were talking about, he was 15, who he was severely wounded. And it's pretty these actions against Palestinians and children in particular, Ahed and her mom is Nariman, they're completely routine for Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. And it's interesting because Palestinians, they are tried in military court, and Israelis are tried in civil court.
Right.
And a lot of people are saying that there shouldn't even be a military court. Like, an occupied territory shouldn't even have a court to begin with. Like,
it's illegal. Under international law, it's illegal. So that shouldn't exist. This woman, there shouldn't even be a trial.
Yeah. So Ahed, she's become an icon for the 330 Palestinian children that are currently held in Israel's prisons. And obviously, rights groups have demanded for her immediate release. She was an unarmed girl. She posed no threat to the altercation during the altercation between the two Israeli soldiers who were, like, booted up head to toe and fucking.
They
like,
had
gear.
Weapons. They had
protective clothing.
Yeah. Like, so some 17-year-old slapping you to get you off your land.
That's terror.
Oh, like, no.
That's gonna affect your fucking
God
job.
God forbid.
Like,
that's stupid.
And apparently, she's been forced to endure, like, long, aggressive interrogation sessions.
Yeah,
she's been in custody for 2 months now.
Bassem Tamimi, her dad, told NPR that his daughter's confrontation is a natural reaction to a life of watching her relatives being arrested and killed.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
And this case, it raises concerns that Israel's military justice system, which, I want to reiterate this, is detaining hundreds of Palestinian children every year. And it's incapable of respecting children's rights. Like, what? Why are you detaining children? Like, why?
So Human Rights Watch, who is against all of this, they've criticized Ahed Tamimi's pretrial detention now that it's more than 55 days. And they say her case raises concern that Israel's military justice system, which detains hundreds of Palestinian children every year, is incapable of respecting children's rights. Yeah. And then B'Tselem, I don't know if I'm saying that right, is an Israeli human rights organization, criticized the decision to close the trial to reporters because, that's right, the court decided that they were going to close the trial to protect Ahed, but in reality they're just protecting themselves. The sudden concern for her rights is even less convincing considering their violation up till now, including her nighttime arrest, which was released to the media, her lengthy investigation in which she faced her interrogators by herself, and her remand in custody. So basically, the judge was like, yeah, we're doing this to protect her, but in reality, they don't give a shit about her. She wouldn't even be in trial if they were trying to protect her.
No, and since her arrest, at least 9 other members of her family have been arrested, 5 of whom are still in custody, and most of them were detained during overnight Israeli raids.
Yeah, and her lawyer said that the court itself is illegitimate because of the illegality of the occupations, which Shireen said earlier.
Yeah, and her fucking lawyer is a badass. I've been watching videos of her talking to the media, and I am so happy she's, like, a fucking badass woman. I'm not happy this is happening, but her lawyer seems like she's, like, really a smart fucking person.
And, right. And real quick, to expand on why those occupations aren't legal, her lawyer, Lasky, what's her first name?
Gabby, I think.
Gabby Lasky. Well, she told reporters that Israel's occupation of the West Bank, now in its 51st year, is no longer temporary because of the existence of Israeli settlements and lawmakers' efforts to annex Israeli settlements areas to Israel, and so therefore, it's not legal.
Nope, it is not. And again, it's not an isolated case because figures are showing that oh my god, can you scroll properly, computer? That Israel detains and prosecutes between 500 to 700 Palestinian children in military courts annually. Like, they have nothing fucking better to do than arresting and prosecuting fucking Palestinian children. They're trying to break Palestinian morale by fucking going after kids.
Yes, and the Palestinian representative to the United States, Riyad Mansour, he sent a letter to the Security Council accusing Israel of committing crimes against Palestinian children and ahead Tamimi. And he said, since 1967, nearly 800,000 Palestinians, including children, some as young as 12, have been kidnapped and imprisoned by the occupying power. And that power is Israel.
And Israel argues that its presence in the West Bank is not illegal, and its disputed status should be determined through negotiations, and it argues that fucking Palestinians have repeatedly declined Israeli offers of compromise on the territory because it's illegal, and you're not supposed to be in a land that's not yours. But it's infuriating, and I'm just so angry all the time.
So the representative for United Nations for Palestine, Riyad Mansour, he went on to say, in addition to the mental and emotional trauma that her and her family, and by her, he means Ahed Tamimi, have endured, Ahed has also suffered physical harm at the hands of the Israeli occupying forces. On different occasions, she has been shot at with rubber bullets and has sustained injuries to her foot, neck, and hand during anti-occupation marches in her village. And her latest encounter is not her first. When she was only 10 years old, Israeli occupying forces arrested Ahed's mother while photographers captured her crying and running frantically after the armored military vehicle her mother was in. Then on August 31st, 2015, another video went viral as Ahed and her mother were photographed trying to free her 11-year-old brother from an Israeli occupying force who was choking him. So that's how this family, for their whole life, has been dealing with this shit.
Yeah, and they've definitely been the symbol of activism in that community, and fucking God bless them for doing that, because they're so fucking strong, and they keep fucking fighting. Both the UN and Amnesty International have been calling on Israel to release Ahed Tamimi.
Yeah.
And the UN also demanded that her trial be held in public view and includes the media. Because, again, they're not hiding, they're not protecting her, they're just hiding their bullshit, like, tactics and whatever aggressive interrogation techniques they're doing. And, but the military court is very adamant that they want it to be behind closed doors, and I'm hoping, like, all this press will make them think otherwise.
They also, the way they arrested her is they showed up in the middle of the night, woke them up, and pulled Ahed out. So they didn't even do it during the day. They know what they're doing. Yeah. They know they're being traumatizing, and yet they don't give a shit.
Yeah, and that's how her cousins got arrested, too, since, like, a lot of the Palestinian children that get arrested, it happens during, like, these night raids. And it's absurd, like, that's even, like, a... It's like when you're the most vulnerable, when you can't do anything but sleep, that's when we're gonna get you! And you just see this, like, figure hovering over your bed, and you can't do anything fucking about it, but, like, go with them, because they have fucking guns on them, and they're in military garb. So it's...
Yeah, and everyone condemns them. It's like, take a fucking note, like...
Yeah.
Or a hint, really. It's like Human Rights Watch, Ben Van Esveld, he's a Human Rights Watch senior researcher. He said her trial is both a violation of international law and unnecessary, and her case raises concerns that Israel's military justice system, which detains hundreds of Palestinian children every year, is, like I said, incapable of respecting children's rights.
Yeah.
That is so, like, they're kids!
They're kids. And so there's a Washington Post article written by Noor Tamimi. Noor is a cousin.
Highly recommend everyone read this.
Yeah, she's Ahed Tamimi's cousin. And she writes firsthand what she went through when she herself was arrested. And she talks about how she had barely fallen asleep, and then she found an armed Israeli soldier hovering over her bed. He told her to get up quickly, put on a jacket. And then she talks about how when she was arrested, how in prison they were treated very badly, and after being arrested, Ahed was taken into a basement cell and interrogated without a parent or lawyer present. And her cousin, Noor, they were repeatedly moved from one prison to another, held with regular Israeli criminals, and subjected to sexist and degrading verbal harassment.
I believe she also said at one point they had to sit in a chair and not move for, like, long, long, long hours.
Like, the army, it knows how to place psychological pressure.
Yeah, because they're trained for, like, the most... Yeah. They're called the Israeli Defense Forces, and they are some of the most highly trained groups of, like, soldiers.
Yeah.
It makes no sense as to why they should be dealing with children.
And they deprive them of food and sleep, and Noor is saying that she was forced to remain seated in a chair for long hours at a time, like you said. And then they were brought to the military court for hearing, and they weren't allowed to see their parents, even though they're fucking minors. And if you're not even allowed to have a lawyer or your parent present, then what are you fucking doing with these children? Like, it's just infuriating.
So apparently members of the U.S. Congress are now taking action to stop Israel with a bill that's intended to make sure American aid doesn't fund Israel's imprisonment of Palestinian children or violation of their rights.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this happens.
Yeah, I fucking hope so.
Because the fuck?
Yeah. So Noor, she says in this article, which I highly recommend you read all of it, but here's a little snippet. She says, Ahed and I are the second generation of Tamimis to spend our whole lives under Israel's oppressive 50-year military rule. We grew up under the constant watch and control of Israeli soldiers. At a young age, we had to learn resilience, determination, and persistence. In order to survive, we had to be acutely aware of all our surroundings at all times. Even the most basic things, like being able to move freely or take a day trip, wasn't a possibility because of military checkpoints, and we had no room to breathe, sometimes literally, as clouds of tear gas fired by soldiers engulfed us in our homes.
The fuck?
And then she says, we are used to soldiers forcing our way into our homes, their cameras clicking us to take photos of the males in the family, documenting how many windows and doors we have, and stealing and destroying our personal belongings. There is no privacy. And she has her mother and father, and her mother and brother have also been imprisoned. And she goes on to explain the family members that have been shot and killed and injured in all these altercations. And she says, we have had our childhood stolen from us, never knowing the feeling of safety, security, and quiet. The unfortunate truth is that this isn't the only reality of Ahed and I or of Nabi Saleh. It is the reality of most Palestinians, especially the young ones. So I highly recommend you reading this article. And she goes on and says, like, Palestinian children in military, in Israeli military prisons, they endure systematic abuse, including threats, physical violence. They're pressured to sign confessions in Hebrew that they can't read while they're being interrogated without a parent or a lawyer. And these abuses have been well documented by human rights groups. Even members of the U.S. Congress now taking a step to make sure.
Yes, I have more info on that.
Yeah, please.
So the United States has given billions of dollars in military aid to Israel every year. And so now a Democratic group in Congress is fucking tired of their bullshit. So Representative Betty McCollum of Minnesota, Democrat, and 9 co-sponsors, they introduced legislation that would require the U.S. State Department to certify every year that American military aid is not being used to fund the systematic abuse of Palestinian children. So the bill, it's titled the Promoting Human Rights by Ending Israeli Military Detention of Palestinian Children Act. It would prohibit U.S. aid from being used by Israel to support the administrative detention or physical abuse of the Palestinian children. And it's, the bill says that detention of Palestinian children is inconsistent with the values of the United States. And they want to establish some sort of transparency over how Israel uses U.S. military aid in relation to human rights abuses. And apparently there's just no accountability right now. And they want to be like, fuck off. You can't do this.
It's absurd that they've been able to get away with it for so fucking long, and they probably think they can still get away with it. And I'm really hoping the publicity of this trial, if we are able to be inside the courtroom, like, it should be a clear indication of this illegalness. And I really fucking hope she doesn't turn 18 still fucking behind bars, because then it's going to be even more complicated by trying an adult or whatever.
Yeah, because they will be held until the trial, and that, like, the trial happens, and this trial could last years.
Yeah.
Because they're fucks. They know damn well what they're doing.
But, and Palestinians, they can't stand up to Israel by themselves. They need international help and the international community, and that's why I think it's so important to talk about it, especially not just on the podcast, but just even to people that you know. And even if you hear someone talking about Israel and, like, defending it or something, just be, as long as you're aware of it and you can spread awareness. And if like, Ahed Tamimi, she's a fucking badass bitch. Like, what? She's the coolest girl right now. And she needs all of our help. She needs all of the fucking attention. And she's, like, she should be praise just as much. I'm not trying to compare it to other amazing females, but Malala was a victim of radical Islamic terrorism, and she has been lauded and praised in Western media. Ahed Tamimi should have the same kind of praise, because just because she's being harassed and imprisoned by Israeli soldiers doesn't make her any less of a victim of awful things that have happened to her. But I think Western media is so less likely to criticize Israel, and that's why she's not given the attention that she deserves, which is infuriating.
They're trying to make an example out of her, and it's the most trash thing. And back to, like, the abuse of Palestinian kids. According to Human Rights Watch, the children have been blindfolded, threatened, deprived of sleep, put in chokeholds, kicked, and they've, like, peed themselves in fear and stuff like that.
Because they're kids.
Right. And the crazy thing is, the village that Ahed's from, they're literally doing drills right now with the kids who live there to what to do if they get caught up or, like, arrested by
IDF
and stuff. So literally children have to do drills of what will happen just in case, you know, that shitty fucking soldier group from the,
like,
occupying
comes and abducts
country
you at night.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Children, they have to literally, like, sit on the ground, tied up with blindfolds, and, like, taught how to act just in case. Like, how fucked up is that? What if your kids had to go through that? I think
people have such an inability to think outside of themselves if it's not happening here, and if people don't look like you. So, I would hope, I mean, I feel like our listeners are woker than a lot of other people, but if, it's just, like, that could be you. If you're lucky enough not to be born in a place that systematically oppresses you and your people, that's good. But you have to have a certain amount of empathy for people that you're just like you. You could have easily been that person if you were born in a different fucking country. Oh my god, I'm so mad.
All right, this is a good time to take a quick commercial break.
Back.
Yes, we are.
After that tirade that we just went on.
Emotional turmoil.
Yeah. We're gonna end this on a less shitty note. And talk about
personal. That's right, we are gonna smoke Tide Pops out of our vape pens.
Woo! Bye guys. So Anna earlier was talking about Easter and our relationship, I guess, to American holidays, And that got us thinking about how we, in as children of immigrants in particular, how we celebrated holidays or our birthdays. And I think it's an interesting topic.
Yeah. That's right, Shireen.
What?
Oh. I'm doing a new thing where I'm just pretending I'm a reporter. That's
back
right,
to you.
Shireen.
Back to you, Anna.
Thanks. You know, my birthdays were always very lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
I was a hater. So,
why were you a hater?
I don't know. I was a weird kid. I
was
just very angsty.
Did any of your siblings ever have, like, birthday parties or anything like that? Because my parents, when we were younger, we had a few birthday parties for ourselves. My birthday is on April Fool's Day, though, so I never liked my birthday deep down because I always got pranked somehow.
People would prank you?
Yeah. I got, like, empty boxes. I got, like...
That is traumatizing.
It's... Why? I hate my birthday still. I hate it still. But, like, my parents were never... My dad did a prank here and there that still traumatizes me. Like,
Wait, this was your family doing this to you, or was this friends?
Both. This one time, my dad said that my uncle, who had never been to America for, like... Or maybe, like, he hadn't visited us in a long time. He said that he was coming to visit me, or visit us, and ended up being an April Fool's Day prank. And I was so sad.
What?
My dad has a very sick sense of humor.
That's so weird.
But in school, I would get, like, a box of chocolates, and they would all be, like, half-eaten, or, like, that would be the prank. Or, like, I would always get, like, happy birthday, April Fool's. I think I was bullied.
Yeah. That's harassment.
So the most,
it's not even a good April Fool's joke. That's just harassment.
The most notable time was when my friends gave me this chocolate or like they gave me a gift and I opened it and I tasted it and it actually tasted like dirt.
What?
And that was the prank. And then I got so mad I threw it on the floor and I ran away.
Wait, it was like a dirt chocolate?
The prank, they were waiting for me to eat it, so I was like, great, thanks guys, and I ate it, and then they kept laughing because it tasted so bad, and that was the joke. Oh my god, this is so sad, I don't know why I'm talking about this.
We're back to sadness again.
No, well. But my family in general, we had a few birthday parties growing up. I really loved celebrating my birthday. When we were in Syria, we would, like, get my cousins together, and my mom really loved dressing us up in, like, really cute outfits. And so there are a bunch of nice photos of us, like, with Arabic desserts and stuff like that. And for 1 year, maybe 2 years, my mom tried to go, like, the American route and, like, have goodie bags at one of my birthday parties. Remember that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think I did that, too.
Yeah.
My parents really tried to give me nice birthdays because I was the youngest and I was definitely, like, sidelined a lot.
Mm.
So I think they would, like, I remember one time they, like, rented a McDonald's for me.
What?
Or maybe just, like, a part of it. Probably wasn't the entire McDonald's.
Did you ever go to Discovery Zone?
Yeah.
I went to Discovery Zone for my birthday once. And Chuck E. Cheese when I was really young.
Yeah, I did definitely do Chuck E. Cheese. I've done, like, a weird, like, corner of McDonald's.
Yeah.
I did.
My parents tried.
My parents let me have, like, friends over during the day and, like...
Nice, yeah.
I got to wear, like, matching outfits with my friends.
Aww.
No,
I really... I love my parents for...
They always take me
so
out
hard.
To a sushi dinner now.
That's
for
nice.
For my birthday.
That's like a tradition.
If I'm around for my birthday. If I'm not, then I guess I can go fuck myself. But, they try. I mean...
That's nice. I like that.
I think
I really love my parents, and looking back on how hard they tried just to see, like, a smile on our faces, I think it's just a nice thing. Like they probably hated Chuck E. Cheese, you know? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
They probably hated Chuck E. Cheese, and they just went there for, like, to see joy on our faces. And I think that's so
And Chuck E. Cheese is such a creepy place when you go there now.
Yeah!
You, like, really see, like, literally the glow of everything is gone, and you're like, ew, why would you ever touch anything here?
Yeah,
like, looking at your parents like, oh, why would you ever let me in this establishment?
Yeah. But yeah.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
I don't know why the most, most memorable birthday is the one I had at McDonald's.
I mean, that is pretty
I think,
memorable.
Like, they got everyone Happy Meals or something.
Oh, that's a pretty, like, clutch move as a parent,
I was in fourth grade. And I think they did that because I was in private school that year, and I think it was, like, one of my first years in private school.
Mm.
I think they just, like, I was just struggling so hard. Because I was just, like, I was also in, like, a Christian school. It was really weird.
I didn't know that about you. You went to a Christian school? A private Christian school?
For 1 year. Damn. Because I think my parents just, like, needed, they just really needed a private school. And they just, like, chose the one that was closest to our house. It was in El Sobrante. El Sobrante in the Bay Area of California.
I went to a
Sherwood
private,
Forest Christian Academy.
I went to a private Muslim school, like, in kindergarten to first grade, I think. But that was, like, that was the only temporary.
Yeah, my parents got us out of there quick because I was like, Mom, we have to go to church every Wednesday.
And she
was
like, no!
And I was like, and we're doing Bible study. And my mom was like, ugh, just let us to leave in the school year. And I think my brother got kicked out, so they were like, oh, okay. That gave us enough time to find another private school to put you in. But it was so weird. I mean, why wouldn't he get kicked out? Who knows? But
wild child.
I honestly don't remember. Probably because he just, like, talks shit to a Christian-ass teacher.
Like, Jesus isn't real.
It was just weird. I don't know why they put... I literally think they were just like, shit, well, it's private. Just put them in there and maybe they won't notice that they're learning Christian values. But it's, like, so weird.
Yeah.
And they got us out of there real quick.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. I remember I enjoyed my birthdays until I realized... I don't think I understood my birthday was on April Fool's until I got a little bit older. But when I was younger, I loved my birthday. And then the older I got, the more I would hear, like,
yeah,
happy birthday, April Fool's. And then I was like,
the more,
sucks.
Like, cognizant you got, you're yeah. Like, this is actually, like, a very trash-ass day.
Just like, this is sad.
My birthday was a no particular. It was just middle of May. Yeah. It was very whatever.
I'm the only one in my family that has a birthday in spring. The rest of my family, my dad's in July. My mom, my younger sister are both September. And my older sister's in August. Huh. So they're, like, in summer, early fall. And I'm the only one in spring. So I kind of felt a little special for that. I was like, oh, this is my time. I love spring and all the flowers. And then the older I got, the more I was like, I like rain. Spring isn't my time.
I'm a spring babe.
Yeah. Yeah. Spring. That's why I think it's also why I liked Easter growing up. Back to that. Because it was around my birthday. I loved bunnies. I thought they were so cute. I still think bunnies are adorable.
You thought it was the bunny holiday.
And I thought it was the bunny holiday. And I thought it was for me because it was springtime and it was my birthday. But then I realized it wasn't. So
it's okay, honey.
I was let down.
Honey, it's okay.
Honey.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
Birthdays were weird. Now yeah. I don't really...
No, I'm not really a big celebrator now. In any holiday. I'm not a holiday person. Birthdays included.
I like the, like, end of the year holidays, because it's like you get break and time to go, like, do your own thing. But, like, my two least favorite holidays are Halloween... and New Year's, because I could care so less about either of those things.
Yeah, it's so commercialized, and it's just a way to get you to spend money.
Well, Halloween, it's like, I'm so tired of dressing up, I'm just so lazy. And New Year's, it's like, so much build up, and then it's like midnight, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, now what?
And I always remember, like, growing up, we'd go to, like, my dad's best friend's house, and we'd just, like, party at their house all night.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just mostly, like, my dad and his buddies just drinking and my mom's sitting there quietly yeah, and I was just there and I had little like New Year's hat on and I was over it. And then I remember once my brother would just like drink himself to death and then everyone would be like, he's wasted, and I'd be like, this is boring.
I can't even imagine drinking with my family. That's wild to me. Like,
yeah,
I've never seen my parents drunk or anything. That's just an insane thing for me to even imagine.
Well, like, my mom would just sit there like pleasantly, like,
yeah,
not drinking, yeah, casually making conversation with the other wives,
mm-hmm,
and then probably just being so fucking bored. Just like me just being like, can I have some more cake? And my mom being like, no. Then me just sitting there next to her like,
yeah. Holidays are weird. Yeah. I don't like, I think for me, I don't like this like forced obligation that comes with a holiday, even a birthday. Like, if I want to get you something for your birthday, or just if I want to get you something, I will get you it, even if it's not your birthday. I feel like there's like an obligation that I don't like about a birthday that makes me like a little anxious or something.
I really like to give gifts, but I really don't like receiving them. I feel very awkward when someone gives me a gift. Like, I'm supposed to be
that.
Like, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want me to open this in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay, here I go. It's very weird.
I like more, I don't know if you guys know about love languages, but
here we go.
But I'm not like a big person of that, but there is something, it's called like, I react more strongly to something that someone does for me. Like, if they, like, help me out, if my wall needs repairing, and they notice that one time when they come over, and then the next time they come over, they bring, like, something to help me. Like, I think when people do practical things that make my life easier, I think that's so much better than a gift sometimes. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. But holidays are weird.
They are.
The older I get, the more I've taken off my birthday from Facebook. Like, I don't want anyone to wish me my birthday anymore. Like, I don't want anyone to know it's my birthday. I'm just like, no thanks. Like, because, you know, like, when...
I don't know if I have mine on there. I don't know.
Because I don't like people just, like, seeing it and being like, oh, let's wish her a happy birthday because I had no idea. Like, people that know my birthday will wish me a happy birthday, and that's all I need. You know?
You know, that's what I live for, is, like, complete strangers I'm friends with on Facebook saying happy birthday.
And years
being
later.
Like, who the fuck are you?
We've been friends for 11 years. Mm-hmm. Who are you? Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
There you go.
Birthdays.
Valentine's That's our birthday Day. Segment.
Yeah. Valentine's Day is another holiday. That's just like all fucking commercial. We're all being run by the sugar industry, y'all. It's all just.
You heard it here first.
Yep. Sugar runs us.
All right, I think we should wrap it up. Let's call it a year. Thank you for listening. We hope this episode was super uplifting. I don't know if it did anything for you, but hopefully now you know that Palestinian children are being fucking ruined in Israel.
It's not always going to be a fun time here, but if anything, it should be educational time, and it should teach you stuff, and it's okay to be...
let's hope Netanyahu, like, trips.
Yeah.
That's all I need. Just hard. Trip and, like, break his nose.
Hard.
Something needs to happen.
Yeah.
Is there no karma in Israel? I hope there is.
I really fucking hope there is.
Yeah.
In the meantime, though, y'all should go rate and review us on iTunes and on your podcast app.
Yes. And follow us on Instagram at ethnicallyambig. Follow us on Twitter at ethnicallyamb, A-M-B.
Yeah.
We
love talking to you guys on Twitter. It's so fun. Yes. I have such a good time.
And you can find our website at ethnicallyambiguouspod.com, which we will have our footnotes up there so you can see the links that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And you can, rate and review us on iTunes.
Yeah.
5-star us. Get us back up to 5-star.
While we're talking about it, I want to shout out a review we got. The title is, I'm a middle-aged white dude and I love this show. I've traveled around this planet, it says, and the one thing I've learned, people are people. Anna and Shereen are perfect examples of this. Their upbringing and lifestyle was very different than my own, (parentheses, I'm from Chicago, but also very similar. I'm going to bet you'll notice the same no matter where you're from. Not only that, they'll also throw some kick-ass Middle Eastern knowledge at you, like women's suffrage in Muslim countries. Who knew? I found them thanks to the Daily Zeitgeist, and I'm so glad I did. Woohoo!
Oh my god, thank you for coming here from the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah!
I also want to shout out, pulling up my receipts.
Your receipts?
My receipts.
There's also a reviewer from Facebook that left us a really nice review about how he's been binge-watching 5 to 6 episodes a day. Charles Lassert, Xavier Lassert. He left us a review on Facebook, which you can also do. You can review us on our Facebook page, which is kind of cool. But he says that the show is making him see other perspectives while also being hilarious. We're hilarious, everybody.
Okay, so Mr. Sidonia at S. Parsonajad. He tweets us great hashtags and info that we want. He tweeted us... the other day, or maybe it was today, Tehran Taboo, which is this film, of like animated film from director Ali Suzandeh, which is about like relationships in Iran and like the double standards of sex and stuff like that. And I recommend checking out. It was very interesting. It's done in that like form of animation where they draw over the actors.
Oh, cool.
It's very interesting.
Like Standard Darkly.
Right, right. So it's called Tehran Taboo. Check that out. So nice. Thank you for sending that over to us.
Yeah.
You
get a lot of cool recommendations.
Yes. He also, I don't know if you're a he, maybe you're a she. You look like a he in your Twitter pic. You also sent us more video and hashtags about the women protesting wearing a hijab in Iran. So thank you for sending all that stuff over. It's wonderful. We love it. We love interacting with y'all because y'all are interesting.
Yeah.
Y'all so interesting.
And this, you guys are the reason why we do this thing. So thank you for being there.
Well, I do it for the big bucks.
yeah, right.
Just kidding. I make no money.
But yeah, thanks so much for listening. And we will talk to you on the next one.
Trina, you gonna bite that ass?
I bite that ass.